There are many things in life that we have to do a lot of work to get ready for, that you have to prepare yourselves for, that if you show up unprepared, things won't go very well. Even things where you're not really the one doing much. If you ever had to prepare for surgery or to go see the doctor, I'm getting close to 40 and getting closer to that age where you had to do colonoscopy preparation. You know, the doctor's the one doing all the work, but they give you a lot of prep to do getting ready for that. All kinds of surgeries and things require that. Okay, it's getting to midnight. No more eating or drinking until after the surgery. Other things, you are the one who's doing it, and you're going to need some practice. You know, the worship team comes and they practice on Thursdays. They practice before the service. That the girls who sang, they had to practice their song so that they were prepared to come and sing it. There's other times when we tell people that they should be prepared. In fact, that's the motto for the Boy Scouts, be prepared. Well, what are you going to be prepared for? Just everything. The Boy Scouts have all types of skills that they teach so that whatever comes up, you can be at least a little bit prepared. And sometimes we even ask people to prepare for things that you can't prepare for. You hear people say, prepare for the unexpected. Okay, well, what does that mean? For the unexpected? I mean, I guess I could put down some drop cloths, maybe get out scuba gear. I mean, I'd rather have a scuba tank and not need it than find out that I need it and not have one nearby. How are you supposed to prepare for the unexpected? And then there's times when maybe you've had a boss or a teacher or someone who asked you to do some work in preparation, and at the end you felt like, well, what did that even matter? Yeah. It's like I go to the dentist, but I brush my teeth first. Like, you're the professional who's about to clean my teeth. Why am I using my toothbrush 5 minutes before I go? It's rearranging the deck chairs on that Titanic. Is this really getting ready for anything important? Is this going to make a difference? I think as a Christian, sometimes we feel that way. God is so good and so powerful. His wisdom far eclipses our own. And for us to feel like, well, how are we going to contribute to his plan? What role do we have? It's intimidating. It feels like, well, what does this look like? And yet, that's what God tells us, that actually, he has work for us to do in his plan. We're going to be reading in Luke chapter 1. I'm going to read a bunch of this story, although we're going to focus in on only a couple key points. We're going to focus in on these little descriptions of what John, the boy whose birth is foretold, and then his birth happens in this chapter. We're going to focus in on those descriptions of him and his purpose. But I'm going to actually read a bunch of this Christmas story, starting in Luke chapter 1, verse 5. We're going to read up through verse 25, and then we're going to skip ahead, and we're going to pick up again in verse 57. Luke 1, starting in verse 5. In the days of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah of the division of Abijah, and he had a wife from the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking blamelessly in all the commandments and statutes of the Lord. But they had no child because Elizabeth was barren, and both were advanced in years. Now while he was serving as priest before God, when his division was on duty, according to the custom of the priesthood, he was chosen by lot to enter the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And the whole multitude of the people were praying outside at the hour of incense. And there appeared to him an angel of the Lord, standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And Zechariah was troubled when he saw him, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayers have been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great before the Lord. And he must not drink wine or strong drink. And he will be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. And he will go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready for the Lord a people prepared. And Zechariah said to the angel, "How shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is advanced in years." And the angel answered him, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I was sent to speak to you and to bring you this good news. And behold, you will be silent and unable to speak until the day that these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their time." And the people were waiting for Zechariah, and they were wondering at his delay in the temple. And when he came out, he was unable to speak to them, and they realized that he had seen a vision in the temple. And he kept making signs to them and remained mute. And when his time of service was ended, he went to his home. After these days, his wife Elizabeth conceived, and for 5 months she kept herself hidden, saying, "Thus the Lord has done for me in the days when he looked on me, to take away my reproach among people." And then if we move forwards to Luke 1, verse 57. "Now the time came for Elizabeth to give birth, and she bore a son. And her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown great mercy to her, and they rejoiced with her. And on the eighth day, they came to circumcise the child. And they would have called him Zechariah after his father, but his mother answered, 'No, he shall be called John.' And they said to her, 'None of your relatives is called by this name.' And they made signs to his father, inquiring what he wanted him to be called. And he asked for a writing tablet and wrote, 'His name is John.' And they all wondered. And immediately his mouth was opened and his tongue loosed, and he spoke, blessing God. And fear came on all their neighbors. And all these things were talked about through all the hill country of Judea. And all who heard them laid up in their hearts, saying, 'What then will this child be?' For the hand of the Lord was with him. And his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, 'Blessed be the Lord God of Israel. For he has visited and redeemed his people, and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets from of old, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath that he swore to our father Abraham, to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people in the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, whereby the sunrise shall visit us from on high, to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace." And the child grew and became strong in spirit. And he was in the wilderness until the day of his public appearance to Israel. This is the word of God. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your gift of mercy on us. And we ask that today you would stir us up in mind and in heart. Let us be open to the truth of your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This is a favorite passage to read at Christmas time. More than that, I think it's one of the most funny stories in Scripture. There's a lot of really funny things that happen throughout Scripture, and they always follow the same basic pattern, that God, in his incredible plan, knows exactly what's happening and is working things out, and then people come along and they don't understand and they really mess things up. Here, an angel appears, and you know, the way I read it, Gabriel sounds like a nice guy. I don't know if those words to Zechariah came out sounding a little bit more terrible. The angel appears and Zechariah immediately has some questions to ask. Hey, great that you're answering my prayer. Love it. I've been praying for a child for all this time. Just wondering, you might be too late. Think we might have missed that boat. We're old. I think, 30 years ago, yeah, no, sign me up right away. But it's just now, I think this might not be a possibility. So, do you want me to send in one of the other priests or something? That he doesn't understand. And, a less friendly sounding reading in verse 19, Gabriel maybe sounds quite frustrated. I'm Gabriel. Look, I stand in the presence of God. I was sent here to speak to you, to bring this news to you. You know what? You can't say anything else. That's it. You can't talk. Just be quiet from now on until the baby is born, because you did not believe a word I said. That way you'll finally know what I was talking about. You think God's playing around? He is not. And then after that, to me, this is the funniest part, because he comes out and all these people are waiting out there. Why is it taking so long to burn the incense? Doesn't he know how to burn incense? Come on, what's going on? You're slowing down the church service. We have lunch. Come on. And he comes out there and he can't speak. And they're like, okay, he's seen a vision. And then verse 23, when his time of service was ended, he went to his home. They made him stay and work out the rest of his shift. Like, yeah, you know, you can't talk. You're on duty right now. You can't leave just because you can't talk. I don't know. Figure it out. Someone else can. You know what? When you get time to do the Psalms, just like wave a lot. We'll figure it out. And then wrapped up in this, there's the fear. For 5 months, Elizabeth kept herself hidden. For 5 months, she didn't tell anyone. Starting to wonder. It's not clear what it meant for her to be barren. It's possible that she had never been pregnant at all, but it's also very possible that there had been stillbirths and miscarriages along the way. And now this old woman has become pregnant, and for 5 months she hides it away. Is this really happening? And then the day comes. You would think this would be an easy thing to work through, because they come and they have this child. They're going to circumcise him and they're going to name him Zechariah. Now, I don't know about you, but if I was involved in that, you'd think the parents would be high on the list of people to consult. But apparently the mom has to interrupt it and say, wait, whoa, 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 whoa. Hold on a second. His name is actually going to be John. And what do? They immediately disagree with her. No. No. No one in your family is called John. Obviously, that's not the right name. We're going to have to consult the dad, who, as we all know, God has touched him, so he cannot speak. And so what do? They go and they start making signs to him. Now, apparently, he could still hear. He's the one who can't talk, but they start to pantomime to him. And Zechariah, wondering, like, I can hear you, just talk. Finally, he motions to them and gets them to bring him a tablet, like, if they had a tablet nearby to write on. I don't know why they didn't start with that. Or even much more simply, like, hey, do you want his name to be John? Like, this is yes, and this is no. But they try to pantomime to him. Finally, they bring him the tablet, and he writes it out, and now he can speak. And he goes straight into prophesying by the power of the Holy Spirit. And God is at work. It's a great story. And so many of these elements are central to the way God works, like just the patterns of God working. And the story of Christmas, I mean, the story of a woman that you wouldn't expect to have a child now having the son. Throughout Scripture, those types of stories come up with Abraham. You know, that's how his child comes up. I mean, the story of Samuel. I mean, over and over again, it's the story of the woman who's selected by God to now have a child, and something incredible is going to happen. Mary, of course, now by the Holy Spirit with Jesus. These themes of the angels appearing and people even face-to-face with an angel not really understanding. There's a lot of prayers that I make. I've never had an angel appear to me and tell me that one of my prayers was about to be answered. But based on Scripture, I feel like my response might not be that great if that's the way the message came. Like, I do much better with just finding out later that the person is getting better or that the thing has worked out. I think the angel appearing maybe would throw me off my game a little bit, even as a pastor. You know, Zechariah was a priest there serving in the temple. But in the midst of this, what we want to look at, especially today, is this purpose that John had and how it relates to Jesus and how it relates to us and our mission. We see in the words of Zechariah and his prophecy, "And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people in the forgiveness of their sins." And we saw earlier, as the angel made the announcement to him, it said, "He will be great before the Lord," in verse 15. In verse 16, "He will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God, and he will go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready for the Lord a people prepared." God does miraculous preparing work. It's an incredible purpose to be set on this child. And it's one that if you think about it, you might wonder, well, why? Why would this happen? If there's anybody that you think doesn't need to have the way prepared for him, it would be God. If God, in his plan for the temple, said, "Here's how I want you to build the building. You know, you're in the desert, make sure you make the tabernacle, and don't forget to put in a wheelchair ramp for me." Now, hold on a second. Can God not handle steps? Is God going to be denied entry into his temple if we don't have ADA-approved access? You know, the Handel's Messiah, that beautiful choir piece, right? It sings of every valley being exalted, or they say it exalted, and every mountain made low. But if there's one person who I think is all-terrain capable, it's God. That he could find a way, whatever valleys and mountains lie in his path. And yet, the way is to be prepared. John is sent now to do a preparing work. But when you look at the details of what he says, this is not really a work to prepare it so that God has an easier time, but it's to prepare it so that we, the people, have at least a chance of encountering God rightly. That it is God at work, the Holy Spirit coming upon this child, John, as he grows, doing a work not to make it because otherwise Jesus wouldn't be able to minister, but to make it so that people could receive their God. God does a miraculous preparing work in the hearts of the people and in the world overall. That Jesus, when he came, he was coming at the right time. And that's part of what Luke wants to impress on us. That it was the right time for Jesus to come. We see that in this story with the preparation that John the Baptist was making. We see it in the later stories of Jesus, now the child, Jesus being born and coming to the temple. And these other signs of people who are just waiting, you know, you won't die until you see the Messiah. Okay, well, I'm getting old. What's happening here? And then the child appears. Jesus is present. More than that, if you look at the course of history, the work through the Old Testament and the prophets, the expectations of the people in Israel, even just the rise and fall of empires, that Jesus came at a time and a place where there was an unusual peace, when the world was opened up to travel in an unusual way through that Roman Empire, when a common language was spoken. Certainly, God could have done this work in very difficult times. He could have spread his message through much greater hardship and more difficulty. But Jesus came at this nexus in time, when there was peace in the land and when the people of Israel were expecting a Messiah, when other ideas of Messiah had been floating around and people were wondering, is this time? Is it now? Is he coming? And then to be able to travel through that empire, Paul in his travels with a common language to be able to speak and spread the gospel. And he came to prepared people. We know that the work of John the Baptist not only affected and prepared the people of Judea at that time, but we know as the missionaries began to go out that the words of John the Baptist had spread. That one of the early stops they make on the way is the people who say, well, no, we only know the gospel according to not John the disciple, but according to John the Baptist, that this guy is coming soon. He said, oh, well, you are going to be really amazed about this Jesus part. This is going to fill in a lot of details for you. That people were being prepared. That God does this incredible work to prepare people. And at the same time, God calls us to the same type of work. That we are to be people who prepare. That as we are called to prepare, we're called in two ways, to prepare ourselves and to prepare others. Jesus cautioned those who were with him. In Matthew 24, you must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. The incredible story of Christmas is not just that this little baby Jesus came and through him the world will be saved. It points to the fact that Jesus came not just to be a cute little baby, but to grow up to be a man and a teacher. More than that, to live the type of life that none of us can live, a life that is free from sin, and ultimately to lay down that life. That for all of us, because we have done evil in our hearts and in our deeds, we deserve death. And Jesus, who was innocent, paid that price. And then he rose again to new life and he ascended into heaven. But more than that, there is still another coming that we look forward to. Just as we celebrate his coming as a baby at Christmas, we look forward to his coming again. But with that coming, there is that warning. We must be ready. He will come at an hour when you do not expect. That's the type of being prepared that we need. When you know what to do and what will happen, but you're not sure when. If you were ever left at home as a kid, your parents go out and they said as they're leaving, you know, we're going to be gone, we're going out to dinner, see a movie. Make sure you have your chores done when we get back. Well, did you ever sit around and think like, well, okay, dinner probably takes about an hour. I think the movie they were seeing was 2 hours. And they'll probably get there a little bit early. So I'd say 2 hours and 45 minutes from now, maybe we start doing the chores. Everyone on board with this plan? And if they ever came back early, you know what? We didn't find a movie we liked. No, we're not ready. We were going to do them. Yeah. Well, you didn't know the hour. You were not ready. And the danger that is faced at the return of Christ is much greater. For those who are not ready, and the blessing for those who are. And so we are told to be prepared. We are preparing ourselves, not just for ourselves to understand who God is, to embrace the gift of Jesus Christ, to start moving in obedience, that we would be able to, at his return, hear those words. We are a true and faithful servant. But also because God has put us here to do work on his behalf, to do work similar to the way that John the Baptist was given work to do. 2 Timothy says this, those who cleanse themselves, okay, that's believers, those who know Jesus and have now put away these sinful things, those who cleanse themselves will be instruments for special purposes, made holy, useful to the master, and prepared to do any good work. Prepared to do any good work. There are many good works that are set in place for believers to do, but we need to be prepared for them. How terrible would it be for you as a Christian to be out in the world, and just as you have a moment of weakness, and maybe you're in Walmart, you're at the mall, in a moment of weakness, I know none of you would do this, but you see something you want there, and you just slip it in your pocket. And just then your neighbor turns the corner. Hey, so good to see you. I was wondering, I know you go to church. Do you guys do Christmas services? Oh. Yeah. Let me ask you one quick question. How long were you watching me? Will we be cleansed and ready for good works? When opportunities come, will we be ready to speak and to act? Later in 2 Timothy says this, preach the word, be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. That we should be ready to speak on Scripture. Now, it's easy for me to say, I know what you're thinking. You preach all the time and we pay you to do it. So of course you're ready. But this isn't just for those who get a half hour every Sunday morning. This is meant for all who believe. That you would study this word and be applying it to your heart. That there's no requirement in Scripture that you do morning devotions or evening devotions. Actually, what Scripture asks is much more difficult. That you would take God's word and you would write it on your heart. That when you sit down and stand up, when you go in and go out, you would always have it in mind. But if you read Scripture, if you prepare yourselves and try to apply it to yourself, God is good. And you will see again and again that those Scriptures that you have been studying prepare you for those people around the world, your neighborhood, family, and friends who need a word of comfort, of encouragement, sometimes who need a word of rebuke or correction, who need to be encouraged. That your answer doesn't have to be, well, I saw a greeting card once that said, but can I tell you what the Almighty God has said? This is His word, and it has touched me in a profound way. Let me share it with you today. 1 Peter says it this way, in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you, to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. This Christmas season is a great time to speak of the hope that we have, to be ready to give an answer. You know, there, even at Christmas time, is a lot of suffering, a lot of loneliness, a lot of fear, oftentimes for parents wrapped up in, well, will my kids like the presents I got them? Can we afford to get them the presents that are at least on par with what their friends are going to get? What are we missing out on? Or who's not around this year to celebrate with us? But as believers, we have an incredible hope, and it's not wrapped up into the number of boxes under the Christmas tree, but it's wrapped up in the Savior who was lifted up, not on a Christmas tree, but on a cross. The life that we have through Christ. That we can speak of hope. Hope that we have not just at Christmas, but all year long, because God is with us. Jesus lives. His Spirit is upon us. That we would have the willingness and the preparation to speak with gentleness, with respect, but to speak of our hope. I think even just to be the type of people who show enough hope that someone would ever ask you that. Man, you seem to be handling this well. You have such a good attitude about this. Maybe a boss. You know, I've assigned you the worst job every day this week. And it's because you never complain about it. What's going on about you and your life? To speak of the reason for the hope that you have. And then perhaps this, most importantly. In Romans it says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. With a great blessing, an incredible promise. To know the work of Jesus and to know it well enough that you can call on his name, to seek him for salvation. But the passage doesn't end with that. It says, how then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone speaking to them? How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. This is what it means to prepare the way for the Lord. In Luke, he says that John would go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people in the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God. The angel had said that he would turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready for the Lord a people prepared. We have been sent by the work of God. Through Jesus sending his apostles, the apostles sending others, generation after generation after generation. That this sending call is not just for those special few who are made to be missionaries, but on each of us, having received the Holy Spirit, called to have beautiful feet carrying the gospel message, to go and to speak, that others will hear, that they will believe, that they will call on the name of the Lord and be saved. As we come to Christmas, as we look at the work of John the Baptist, this fun story of an old couple who gets up to some crazy hijinks, not able to speak for 9 months, and games of charades. Though we wouldn't let it sit with that. But to remember the purpose of John the Baptist, to get people ready to meet Jesus. And to remember that we are called to that same thing. That God has chosen in his wisdom. And, you know, sometimes I think he made a bad choice. I know for myself, I rarely feel up to the task of preparing the world for God. I feel like God has a lot more power and wisdom on his side than I do. But in his wisdom, in his power, through the work of his Holy Spirit, he has put on each of us this task to prepare people to meet with Jesus. Be ready. Jesus is coming. And he will come at an hour when you do not expect him. Amen. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your gift of life. And we ask that you would stir us up, that we would love you more and trust you more, that we would have great hope in you. That this week I ask that you would put before us people who need to hear of that hope. Give us boldness to speak, Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.